I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. How are you all doing this morning? Lots to get into, as always, as João Gomes moves closer to a Manchester United transfer. We'll have all the latest on that and how he compares to people like Casemiro and Baleba. Could it be an intelligent deal for Manchester United? Certainly a cheaper deal. Also, Bruno Fernandes to PSG or Bayern Munich. A story coming out this morning about Bruno's uncertain future. And I do think that if a European club makes a move for him, he will go. If it's Saudi or staying at United, I think we've got a great chance. If there is a club in Europe that comes in, a big club, that could be more problematic. Also, would you say yes or no to the return of Mourinho? This is the manager that Nicky Butt wants. We'll talk about that as well. And a few other bits, Diamande featuring this morning again as well. But let's fly straight into it. We're going to be starting off talking about João Gomes. Now, you may remember on Tuesday, I did say expect over the next few days the mainstream to start picking up on João Gomes and Manchester United. Well, it is picking up, and we can add a little bit more to that as well. This could well be Man United's first signing of the summer transfer window. What do you think about that? There is a bit of a race going on. Now, this is strangely not coming in from the Manchester United side. We've had a bit of information at the start of the week. It's not from our source at United or anything like that. This is more from around the player in the sense that offers are being put forward. £35 million is going to be the price tag, and Manchester United are very interested. Now, there is mention of Tottenham, there is mention of Chelsea, there is mention of potentially Liverpool. He is, what I would say, a very interesting, what's the word? It's almost like a marker, you know, your first line in the sand, your first transfer. You get this one done, and it's sort of, it's a Dan James, you know, it's... we've done it. It's a Lindelof. We've done it before. You get it's a Mason Mount. You get a signing in first that's not your priority, but it sort of goes, we've done some business. It's not a bad deal. And it sort of gives you a little bit of space to do your other deals. So if you bring João Gomes in, you've got a midfielder in the bank very, very early. Now, hopefully it ends up being our third midfielder who we buy first. It could be a second midfielder, but it gives you time to go and get your main midfielder. And also, I think that you can't just say, you can't buy players in order. It's like a director doesn't necessarily film in chronological order. There might be a scene in the snow where it snows, but it's in the middle of the film and it's the only day it's going to snow, so you film it first. And that happens a lot in film, and it needs to happen a lot more in football, because we can't necessarily buy our players in the order of their priority. We have to buy our players in the way that suits us to get them in, and then, you know, factor in there is a summer transfer window and it's where you end up, not where you necessarily start. This could also run like Cunha, where we are in talks at the moment and we can line this deal up very, very, very early. Now, I suppose the main question in the chat's going to be how reliable do you think the information is? Well, this is why we said it on Tuesday, that Man United were very much looking at this. And I think today I would say that this story is definitely developing fast. Wolves will be relegated very, very soon. Once that's happened, there's not really an issue in Wolves players starting to leave. Probably the biggest issue I would say for Manchester United is, have they got their eggs in order in relation to what they actually want to do? Because for João Gomes, you've got Carlos Baleba. For Elliot Anderson, you've got Adam Wharton. And it's like, how do Man United want to go about this? Because there is a lot of competition for players this summer and they need to almost settle on what they want to do. £35 million for João Gomes, by the way. If you just look at, I've got a few stats here. If you just look at João Gomes across this current season and you compare him to the player he'd be potentially replacing, Casemiro, and you know, obviously Baleba is a player that we think United are going to go for. 22 years of age, Baleba, 25 years of age, João Gomes. Successful defensive actions per 90. Belabor's in third place with 8.5, and that's what he's actually good at. In second place, you've got João Gomes on 10, successful defensive actions per 90. Carlos Belabor is on 8.5, so he's quite considerably higher than that. Casemiro is 12.5, so you're probably not going to get anybody as good as that, if we're being completely honest. You've got... Well, that bloody noises. You've got defensive duels per 90. This is incredible from João Gomes, by the way. Defensive duels per 90, 9.5 to Belabor's 7 to Casemiro's 7.2. So he is a defensive beast, João Gomes, in relation to the fact that he does way more defensive duels than Belabor and Casemiro, and he does way more defensive actions than Belabor. Aerial duels is not too bad. He's 2 per game, which is about the same as Belabor. No one's going to get near Casemiro, who is a 5. Interceptions per 90, he's around 3.5. Casemiro's around 7, and Belabor's around 4. But interestingly, on the passing side of the game, I think this is really important, passes per 90, he's 43. Belabor's 34, which is just a disgrace. And Casemiro's 50. So, look, forward passes per 90 is about 12. Casemiro's about 19. And Belabor's about 9. And I think, look, what I would say about João Gomes is we're not necessarily reinventing the wheel here. We're buying a £35 million player who's 25 and is better than Belabor in every single area. I think it's a very interesting player, and it's somebody that can actually do the more defensive role. I don't think Belabor can do that defensive six role. I don't think he can. I don't think he's got the passing ability. I just don't think he can do it. João Gomes can do it. Tonali can do it. I'm not even sure Elliot Anderson can do it. Maybe Wharton can do it. So I think that what I would say is that this is probably going to blow up very, very big over the next week or two now, because we're obviously in talks. He's definitely a player of consideration. I don't think we went for him in January because I don't think Wolves wanted him to go in January, and I don't think Man United wanted to spend in January. I think now that this deal can be done at a cheap price in the summer transfer window, I think that there's a very big chance that United will move on this. And I think as well, when you look at the price, it makes a lot of sense as well. Like, we're not going to have an infinite transfer budget. And it doesn't take long to figure out that if you sign Adam Wharton and you've signed Elliot Anderson, you haven't really got a lot of change out of £150 million. Then you've got to buy a winger, who we'll talk about in a minute, in Diamande, and you're well above 225, 230. And that's basically your budget gone on three players. So we've got to get creative in areas around players where there is good value. I think there's very good value here, definitely. AR Authentic says, get the top targets first. Okay, let's play your game then. Get the top targets first. So you negotiate with Elliot Anderson and Adam Wharton until the back end of July because loads of other people want them, and then you don't get them, and João Gomes is already signed for somebody else, and then you end up with nothing. You can't have a transfer. I'm sorry. You either understand transfer windows or you don't. You can't do that. You definitely have to get your 100%. We've got to get our best options, but you can't do it in order of how valuable they are, because that's not how a summer transfer window works. Your cheapest signing might be your best signing to do first. Get it out the way. There's loads of competition for it. So we can't just go in order of who we want. We've got to go in order of, like, what's most efficient. And we do need a second or third midfielder. And if we can get João Gomes in May, then you move on to the next one. It's as simple as that. Would you take Gomes over Belabor? Mate, he's better than Belabor. 100% he's better than Belabor. Belabor has potential. He's been absolutely dreadful this season, and he has potential. João Gomes is ready to go now and is a better player. And I think United, the more and more I read and the more and more I see, I think United fans are in agreement that we need players ready for the now. We can't have another season next season where we're developing players. And who was the last player Man United developed, by the way? James Garner, was a very good, talented player. He goes to Everton and he gets his development there. 2 years ago, Maynou was playing in England's midfield and was one of the most exciting players we've had in years. 2 years later, people aren't even sure if he'll be a Man United player, and he's certainly gone backwards. We don't develop players. And I find it hilarious that we keep buying young players when we don't really develop players. I saw a great comment the other day about Sesko. He looks really interesting. Will we develop Sesko? Or will he find himself on the bench all the time? I mean, is there a point where Sesko becomes a first-team player every week? Or will we just use him intermittently off the bench? We don't know. We don't know. I actually found it quite interesting because I think Sesko will be a success. And then I read it and I thought, well, I mean, maybe you're right. Ahmad? Yeah, but Ahmad developed everywhere else. Ahmad developed at Sunderland. Ahmad did not really... We didn't really develop Ahmad. I think Ahmad's a very good shout, but he primarily developed at Sunderland and then came to Man United and has got better. But his development, what I'm saying is we are buying players to develop. We're not very good at developing the player. Ahmad had that season at Sunderland where he was incredible, and then we sort of took it and gave him his opportunity and he got better. But we don't really develop players from... The outright development. We've not been very good at it. It doesn't mean we can't be good at it, but we've not been very good at it. The dirty bookshelf. Sesko's already developed. We just need to utilise him properly. I don't think he is fully developed, to be honest with you. Are his stats better because Wolves defend more? Says Keel Robinson. I don't think his passing stats are better because Wolves defend more. And I think Brighton do a lot of defending as well. When you look at James Wilder's stats in the last couple of games. So I don't think we can sit here, honestly, Keel, and start talking about the differences between Brighton and Wolves. Far from it. And, you know, was Cunha's stats so good because he was playing for Wolves last season? Was Mbeumo's stats because he played so well for Brentford last year? I think we're playing in a very competitive Premier League. Wolves have actually been very good since Christmas as well. So, yeah, I am doing a watch along at 12:45, Darren, yes. I want to talk about Bruno next because I think this story is probably going to catch a lot of people's attention this morning. So it's coming in from Court Offside. And it says Bruno Fernandes' future at Manchester United is uncertain ahead of the summer transfer window. PSG and Bayern Munich are among the clubs showing interest in the Portugal international. And if United receive big money offers, they could consider it for the 31-year-old. Well, I'll give you a little bit more clarity on that. Manchester United have to consider it if they get an offer from PSG or Bayern Munich because he's got a bloody release clause and it's about £50 million. So there is no consideration. There is literally a release clause. So if Bruno wants to go, then he can go. Now, look, I wouldn't say it's the strongest source. I really wouldn't. I think Saudi will offer him ridiculous money and he could make that decision like he could have done last summer. I think Man United will be in the Champions League and that should be a motivation to stay. However, there are elements to this. Who will be Man United's manager next season? Who will Manchester United sign in the summer? And does Bruno Fernandes want to commit to the... Look, the thing I would... If I was Bruno Fernandes, I would be thinking this. Man United in the Champions League isn't actually enough. It's like Carrick shouldn't get the job just because we're in the Champions League. And Bruno shouldn't stay just because we're in the Champions League. Because Spurs were in the Champions League and now they're in a relegation battle. Just because you're in the Champions League, it doesn't mean next season's going to be good. The summer's good. If you're in the Champions League, the summer's exciting, but the reality bites you on the arse in September very, very quickly. And suddenly you're having a bad season like Spurs. So Bruno can't get too carried away about Champions League football. It's about what we're going to do in that Champions League. I don't think Bruno's committing to Man United for 1 year. I think Bruno wants to commit for 3 or 4 years. So he's got to look at it and go, yeah, we're in the Champions League, but what have they done in the summer? What's the next 3 years? Because there's a very, very real situation whereby this time next year, United have been knocked out of the Champions League and are eighth and won't be in it again. And Bruno's committed to that. So I think from Bruno's point of view, the Champions League gives us a chance, but it's what we do in the summer to convey what we're planning to do next year. And that's around the manager and that's around transfers as well. My concern has always been, what if a Bayern Munich or a PSG go okay, he's 31 and it is 50 million quid, but he's clearly worth it. And in a league like the Bundesliga or the French league, he's going to be very, very fit for the Champions League because he's going to be playing in a much easier domestic league, especially France. He's also just won Premier League Player of the Month again. He's also a massive factor in being Player of the Year in the Premier League. So there is a danger that some people want to ignore that because Bruno Fernandes is 31, a PSG or a Bayern Munich wouldn't look at him. But if he was 28, I think they'd be all over him. So it's about whether those clubs ignore the fact that he's 31 and still go and get the player for a release clause that's very reasonable. I think it's £55 million. And also, Bruno Fernandes never really gets injured. I mean, he did his hamstring against Villa and was back in a week and a half. Most people are out for 3 or 4 weeks with that. So he is a machine, both in his physicality and availability, but also in his output. I think if a PSG or a Bayern Munich genuinely did come in for Bruno Fernandes, I would be very concerned because you'd have to say, we can't stop it if they hit the release clause. And why would Bruno reject it? I don't know. Maybe he would. But would do you think Bruno Fernandes would reject the opportunity to go and play with Vitinha and João Neves in a PSG midfield with Luis Enrique as the manager, where you're going to win the French League, but you're also going to be very, very, very big favourites to win the Champions League as well as PSG go again? Because I don't think PSG will win the Champions League this year. So, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? A few days ago, we were talking about, can we take PSG's manager? And then reality bites. Can PSG actually take our best player because we're actually their bitch and not the other way around? So, look, I don't know. I've always felt that maybe the age of Bruno and the release clause might be enough to put people off. I think knowing the Bundesliga, it probably is. I don't think that Bayern Munich really would spend £55 million on Bruno Fernandes. They did spend decent money on Harry Kane, and he wasn't young. But they've also got people like Gnabry and Musiala and Lennart Kahl. So I don't know. And Bayern Munich aren't necessarily big spenders on wages. But PSG might fancy it. And he might fancy PSG. Look, I think if PSG came in for Bruno Fernandes, it's different to Saudi. It's a very big club with some very good players playing a very good brand of football. He'd be perfect for that style of football as well. And he might fancy it. So look, it's tentative, it's early days, but my comfort with Bruno has always been that I think it will be like last summer, where it's a choice between competitive football and this summer the Champions League or money in Saudi. And I have a feeling he might choose United over that again. But if it was a PSG and Man United, he'll definitely get the money at PSG that we pay him. And it's an environment where he can go and enjoy his final few years at a team where, you know, he's going to have a lot better time in relation to chances of winning major trophies, I suppose. So look, the Bruno thing is like, I think with Bruno Fernandes, it's very much about, it's not as comfortable as you think. Loads of people ask me about Bruno and I say, I think he will stay. But it's pure guesswork, and we probably shouldn't be as comfortable as I think some people are. He didn't have a great relationship with the board up until about Christmas. The club is very unstable. And even if we get into the Champions League, there are people out there saying, well, they'll struggle next year and they've been a bit fortunate this year because of other teams dropping off. Will those teams drop off next year? It's whether Bruno is intelligent enough to be able to figure out what next season at Man United is going to be. And I'm not saying that I've figured it out, and I'm not saying that you've figured it out. I think we've all got theories of what next season can be. Bruno probably has a little bit more information than we do. He's probably been given an indication of the manager. He's probably been given an indication of the transfer window. What Bruno needs to do is look at the manager, look at the transfer targets, look at the people who are leaving, and try and figure out what next season is for Man United. Because if next season is in the top three, doing well in the Champions League, you probably sign, you probably stay. If next season is your Newcastle or Spurs, you probably say it's time to go. And I think as let me just get rid of this person.
As somebody just said in the chat, it does depend about what's happening in the summer. Jack Davies said, would you take Camavinga for 45 million? You know what? When it comes to Camavinga and it comes to Tchouaméni, I don't think there is an issue with either of those players coming to Manchester United. But I do feel with the midfielder market, the players that we need to get are already out there. I got sent a clip from TalkSport today, and I don't know why I looked at it. It's bank holiday weekend, isn't it? You have a little bit more time. I think it was Danny Mills. Or was it Danny? Was it Danny Mills or was it Danny Murphy? One of the two. And they were talking about Anderson. And basically saying he's not that good. And then they were talking about Wharton, and I think they were saying the same. And I thought, you know, sometimes I have a moan. I'm sure you have a moan. But there's always a reason for it, right? There is always a reason for it. There's always an alternative. There's always an explanation. And I was listening to the clip, and I thought, but what are you saying? Elliot Anderson's not worth the hype. But teams need midfielders. And he's had a very good season. So if it's not Elliot Anderson, who is it? Or are you just saying he's just not very good? I think that when I look at the midfield targets for Manchester United, people like João Gomes, Scott at Bournemouth, Garner at Everton, decent 2-3 options for Man United. And then you've got your number one targets. You still do have Bruno Guimarães and Tonali. It's just United don't want to do it. You still do have Stiller. It's just gone very quiet around Stiller. Obviously, there's Anderson and there's Wharton. So there's a lot of options for Manchester United before we start going looking at someone like Camavinga, who, let's be honest, he hasn't set the world on fire at Real Madrid. When we were looking at him and he chose Real Madrid, a very, very exciting player, but he's not necessarily set the world on fire. And I think there are better options for Man United this summer. We need Bruno to stay, says Mrs. Stone. Good morning. Hope you're doing very well. Thank you very much for your super chat. But we also need to see his replacement this season. As much as we love him, he won't be here forever. I think Bruno's replacement may already be at the football club. It could be Cunha. There are other options in the football club already as well. You know, hopefully someone like Lacey, I think if Lacey can stay fit and develop, yes, he plays out wide, but I think he can also play centrally. I think Bruno's replacement might already be at the football club. Who do you want more, Tonali or Anderson? Says Oscar. I think it's a great question because I think I sort of like to run a poll on that one. I think a lot of people get led by news and. Obviously, I think it's very clear that Manchester United are not going to go for Tonali, which is something I've said all along. Even when all the stories were coming in and I was like, what a signing it would be. I did say all along, I didn't feel like we were going to go for Tonali. I think a club that allows journalists to put it out there that they have a concern about his gambling issues is not really doing any favours to make the player want to come to Manchester United. I also think that the price was never going to be paid. Tonali will start at £100 million and I don't think United want to spend that. So I think a few people have gone more to Anderson because it's realistic. But if you're asking me who I would rather sign, 100% Tonali. If I had to choose today and it was up to me, Tonali or Anderson, 100% Tonali, for the simple reason, I think Anderson and Tonali would be brilliant together. I think Anderson is so much about going forward and Tonali can actually be more disciplined. But with Casemiro going, the hole in our midfield, to be honest, is experienced midfielder who can conduct things and Tonali does that better. So I think Tonali suits us. If we had prime Casemiro and we didn't have Mainoo, I'd say go at Elliot Anderson. I think Elliot Anderson next to prime Casemiro works, but replacing Casemiro, I think Tonali is the better player. Why are we not looking at Camavinga, says Mrs. Stone. If Enzo is going to Real Madrid, why is he not on the list? Because, again, Mrs. Stone, I didn't say this as well, but I think we've also got to be very careful of the fact that we've done this before with Real Madrid, with Varane, we've done it with Casemiro, and you end up taking players that can be good, like Varane was good for us and Casemiro's been good for us, but are they at their best? And I think there's this is why I wouldn't go for Lewis Skelly from Arsenal as well. I think there's an issue when you're taking players from clubs that are better than you and players they don't want anymore. I think there are better ways of doing it. Do you like my picture, Mark? Says Goldbridge Mark. I can't see it, mate. It's too small. It's your boy Calv has been a member for 84 months. Can we get a bit of applause there in the chat? That's incredible. Fantastic. Thank you very much, your boy. It's your boy Calv. Savage says, with Anderson Mainoo, our English pool becomes strong so we can persuade Palmer and Rogers at the same time. Tonali can really help us win something next season. Question for the Carrick cheer squad. Be on. Chook says, question for the Carrick cheer squad. Be honest, would he be anywhere near the United job if he wasn't popular or an ex-player? This is where nostalgia and sentiment can back you into a corner. Well, he wouldn't be anywhere near the job if we'd waited till the end of the summer to sack Amorim, end of the season to sack Amorim either, would we? He's only getting the job because he's been given the interim. Imagine if we'd given the interim. And I think this is a great point. And it's clippable, it's viral, it's intelligent. And I don't normally say that about myself before it's even happened. But it is an interesting point, and it's sort of made bare as well. Would Carrick be anywhere near the Man United's job if he wasn't a popular ex-player? Okay, I understand that one. What about this? Would Carrick be anywhere near the Man United job if Amorim had been sacked at the end of the season? And the answer is no, he wouldn't be anywhere near it. The reason he's near the job is because he's done well as an interim. But imagine if we'd given Enrique the job as an interim or Nagelsmann a job as the interim. I know it wasn't possible, but if they'd been given the job and they'd done well, we wouldn't be looking anywhere else. So what point am I making? I'm saying interim can be very deceptive. There's meant to be a full recruitment process for the manager this summer. And I don't think what happened with the interim really matters that much. It's about getting the best manager for the next 3 years. And you have to take that into account. I don't think we'll ever get the same level of talent as Bruno. He's irreplaceable for what he does on the pitch, says Azim. If you want to keep Bruno at Manchester United, you just offer him a little bit more money as well. He does get a bit of a pay rise for the Champions League as well. He'll go from, I think it's 300 grand a week to 330 grand a week. Andy Hale says, I think everybody gets a 10% pay rise when we're in the Champions League. It might be a little bit more than that, actually. It might be 20%. I think it's 20%, actually. Does anyone know in the chat what happens? If we're not in the Champions League, it drops down a little bit. Andy Hale says, we still talk like the board want us to win titles. That they don't. That's too expensive. Be good enough for Europe and they are happy, says Andy Hale. Yeah, I mean, well, was it not Omar Berardo that said it about a year ago that we factored in qualifying for the Europa League for the next couple of years and we'll be okay? I mean, Man United are not a football club that's trying to win titles. Man United are a football club that's trying to build a stadium. And I think they will have factored into their spreadsheet what the minimum expectation is for the next 5 years. And I think if you gave them European football, albeit Europa League or Champions League for the next 5 years, they'll actually be fine. Apparently it's a 25% pay rise for being in the Champions League. So therefore, Bruno Fernandes' wage will go up by about 70 grand. So he'll go from 300 grand a week to 370 for being in the Champions League. I think that's right anyway. Losing Casemiro for Gomez makes us worse next year, says Melchert. Yeah, Melchert. I don't think we're saying that João Gomez is the Casemiro replacement. I think we're saying that João Gomez is maybe the Ugarte replacement. I think the Casemiro replacement has to be a star, you know, Tonali, Elliot Anderson, someone like that. But remember, you are rebalancing your midfield. It's not we're never going to do like for like because we're never going to find a midfielder like Casemiro, who is basically Van Dijk in the air for corners. We're not going to find that. So we're going to have to, change the profile of that midfield anyway. Having a Laugh has just gifted a membership. Thank you very much, legend. I'd go for Anderson because he's English. English players in English teams, says Simon. Okay. Sounds like a political broadcast, that, but there we go. We'll move on. 57% of you are going for Tonali and 43% of you are going for Anderson at the moment. I meant to bring this into the show last night. Apologies that I didn't. What are your thoughts on this? So Nicky Butt basically yesterday on their podcast came out with this, and I thought, you know what? It was meant to be an 8 o'clock show thing, but There's a couple of other stories I want to talk about around Liam Delap and our next few fixtures as well. But this was a follow-on from last night. Nicky Butt would welcome a return for Jose Mourinho at Manchester United. He says, I would have him back. He's a winner. He can carry that football club. But the powers that be would never allow it, as they now prefer a manager who focuses solely on coaching rather than controlling recruitment. I mean, look, I think it's a bad take in the sense that Jose Mourinho, and Nicky Butt is actually acknowledging it himself. There is no way that Jose Mourinho would come to Manchester United, and there's no way that Man United would recruit Jose Mourinho. For the same reason they won't recruit Conte or Simeone or any manager that has a personality where they are driven by ambition and want to be involved. So that's right. Nicky Butt's right. We would never bring a player, a manager back like Mourinho anyway. I don't think he's washed, by the way. Benfica haven't lost a game all season. It's just that Porto have been bloody brilliant in that league this year, and they're a very good shout for winning the Europa League. So I don't think Mourinho is washed at all. But for me, it would be a no anyway, because stylistically, it's not really the brand of football I want. And you can't be a hypocrite. I don't like the way Ollie had us playing with Carrick and McKenna. I don't like the way Southgate played with England with Holland. And I don't really like the way we've been playing for the last few weeks with Carrick and Holland either. So I can't say let's bring Mourinho back, whose brand of football is also not the best. So I'm a firm believer that it's about time Manchester United, and I thought we were trying to do this with Amrim and Ten Hag, and we never really did. I'm a firm believer that there is no reason why, when you look at the last few years, Manchester City, Liverpool, PSG, there are other examples as well in the Premier League of teams that play good football. Why is it Man United for 10 years have failed to implement an exciting brand of football? I mean, I would say in the last 15 years... No, it's not 15 years. The last 13 years, you could probably not name 10 games in 13 years where you can say I was proud of us from minute one to minute 90 in the way that we played football. There are a few, but there aren't many. Our brand of football is something that doesn't get spoken about enough under the last decade or so. It's almost secondary to whatever their priority is. But I'm telling you now, you watch Liverpool under Klopp, week in, week out, it was rock and roll football. I mean, Man City, Pep, I don't really like tiki-taka, but it was good football. And United have failed for many, many, many years to sustain any glimpse of a style of football that the fans can be proud of. We just don't play good football. So I think that that is something that fundamentally should be an absolute in United's future vision. Like, it's not the holy grail to have a team that plays good football. Brighton play good football. It has its vulnerabilities, but it's still good football to watch. Manchester United should play good football. And I don't think Jose Mourinho can deliver that. So I wouldn't bring Jose back anyway because of this, the style of football. But Nicky Butt's right. We would never give a Conte or a Mourinho or a powerful manager the job anymore anyway, because we're going down this route of Chelsea, really, where you have a head coach that you can control and you have a board who sits in the background with no accountability and actually makes the decisions. I mean, it's such a dangerous position for Rosinha at Chelsea and the next Man United manager, because you take everything. You look at Chelsea in the last few days, Rosinha is taking the brunt of everything because he is the face, but he hasn't got any power. That Enzo Fernandez decision won't be his. The signings they're going to make won't be his. The people pulling the strings at Chelsea are in the background, hidden. And this is what Man United want to do. And there's a lot of clubs looking to do this now. So, yeah, Mourinho would never come back. But that type of manager is never going to come back to Manchester United. Would I take Mourinho over Carrick? Yes. Yeah, of course I would. I think he's a better coach. But it would never happen. It would never happen anyway. But I think with regards to the manager, I'm hoping at the moment that it's Nagelsmann or Carrick and they interview Nagelsmann. That's sort of where I am with that at the moment. And I think if you want a good brand of football, Nagelsmann will play it. I just keep going back to Rangnick, and Rangnick wanted, when you listen to Ralf Rangnick and you listen to Luis Enrique and you listen to certain other managers like Jurgen Klopp, they're not in football for any other reason than to play the game the way they think it should be played. And they will die on that hill. And if they get sacked or removed, they'll go somewhere else and they will play that brand of football. And I think that's something that Man United need. if there was a Jurgen Klopp out there now and United could recruit him, that's what we should be doing. That is, as I said to you last night, is the only rebuild I've seen in the last 10 years that bears any resemblance to where we are now. We are a club on our arse who is nowhere near winning the Premier League, who needs a visionary to come in relation to building the club and getting us playing the right football. And I don't think Jurgen Klopp had total control at Liverpool, by the way. I don't think he did. I think he worked with the board on it as well. So it's not unachievable. And we have a chance to do that. And I don't mind if people want to do different things. But I think Nagelsmann, if you know anything about him, has a dream and a way of playing. I mean, if you just go and watch them in the second half of Germany midweek, they were fantastic. But I do think brand of football is really important. And I think some people just, you know, I'm not going to be critical of it. I have been critical of it, but I'm not going to be critical of it now. I think some people just go, well, results are all that matter. I don't. I think that's results are all that matter is derogatory and insulting to what Manchester United's all about. You know, I can't speak to certain people now because they're no longer with us, but the reason I supported Manchester United and the reason my granddad loved people like Duncan Edwards and the Busby Babes is because they played exciting, innovative football. Manchester United's never just been about results. The mercenary ownership of the football club may have indoctrinated some of our fan base into that type of mentality, but the purity of what Man United really is to win playing the right way. And we seem to have lost that identity in recent years, where some of our fans will literally argue with you that it's all about results. And I don't think it is. I think it's about results the right way, and they're not mutually exclusive. Many teams who win the right way. And that's why Arsenal this season are getting so much stick, because they're not actually that good to watch. So I think Manchester United do need to play exciting football. And look, I've said this before, if I was sat in the boardroom with Manchester United, some people think I'd be throwing custard pies at everybody and everything like that. I think I'd spend the first hour trying to understand why they don't understand what Man United is. And I would say to them, if Manchester United play exciting football, your share price will go up. If Manchester United play exciting football, you will sell more shirts. If Manchester United play exciting football, you will sell more corporate tickets and you will sell more tickets. Like, the thing that's always baffled me about this ownership is they're money motivated, but they've never figured out that a good footballing team makes them more money. And they've never figured it out. And they go chasing puppet managers who play boring football, when actually you should be chasing managers that play good football, because that's what puts bums on seats. Does Rashford wage go up as well, says Blame Shifter? Yeah, Onana's goes up as well. So I think Onana's on 100 grand a week, so it goes up to 125 grand a week. Everybody's wage goes up. I think it's in everybody's contract, yes. Gomez going to be what we thought Ugarte was, says Ivan. I think that's unfair. I think that's unfair. I would call that out. I think that's unfair. Like, Gomez is going to be what we thought I got. Oh, no, you're flipping it the other way around. Yeah, look. I thought you were saying Gomez is going to be what Ugarte turned out to be. Obviously, I think what you're saying is that Gomez will be the player we thought Ugarte was going to be. And I think, look, anybody can flop. But the fact that Gomez has done it for Wolves in the Premier League is really interesting. And we've had some success doing this with Mbeumo and Cunha from Wolves and Brentford. So I think that for the price he is, I wouldn't be surprised, from what I've heard in the last few days, I wouldn't be surprised if João Gomes is our first signing of the summer. Watch this space. And we're not far off, almost a year to the day. It was certainly a Saturday in April when we had the exclusive about Liam Delap. And that, when we were right on that. So look, let's wait and see if history strikes again. Liam Delap apparently wants to leave Chelsea, by the way. Just don't make eye contact. Put your head down. Don't look. I would not be surprised. Let's just not mention it, but I would not be surprised if United looked at Liam Delap with a certain director of football and went, he'd be a good backup striker. I would not be surprised if we went and did that. I really wouldn't. We don't seem to change our mind on players that we like. We were in for Branthwaite 2 years ago. He's not really done much for 2 years, and apparently we're back talking to him. Belaba last summer, crap year, but we're still talking to him. So I would not be surprised. Simon says, sorry, wasn't a political thing. Would just like to see more academy and homegrown players from UK and Ireland in the team. I'd certainly like to see more Irish players in the Man United side. I mean, that's been something that's disappeared over the last decade as well. But then again, Irish football is not where it was either. But if you're Irish, get out, sign and start kicking a ball against the wall. We need some more Irish players in the Man United side. We've always had a great history of that. Other than salary, do you think United want to avoid managers like Enrique because they can't shift the blame onto them, ultimately exposing the board, says Gams? Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that. If you have a puppet as a coach and things are going wrong, that puppet will take the blame. It's happening with Chelsea, isn't it? If you have a personality manager with experience, they're going to do interviews and say, look, I wanted this and I didn't get it. And it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? We desperately need a best-in-class manager, but they won't go near one because they don't want to be exposed. So you end up going for an inferior manager and who protects the board, and that doesn't help. It's hard to see the direction we're trying to go in the midfield, says John United. All the players are so different. We need a midfielder who holds the right defensive position and doesn't allow passes through and closes the channels, says John. We need a midfielder who is quick, intense, and very good on the ball. They don't need to be a holding midfielder, but they need some, you know, you don't necessarily need a six. We can play a two, but one of them's got to be defensively, positionally on point, and they've got to be quick and good in the tackle and good in the pass. And I think that Gomez is more defensively balanced than Belaba, as things stand at the moment. Would you be happy with Belaba, Gomez and Anderson? No, Antonio. You've tried to slip Belaba in there. No. It's got to be Anderson. I would say Anderson, Wharton and Gomez I'd be happy with. You've got to get two really good midfielders and the third one, Gomez, because then you've got four. Imagine this. We've only got Maynou. So Maynou, Gomez, Anderson, Wharton. We're going into the Champions League and the Premier League. Four midfielders for two positions is a minimum. Thank you very much for that. Goldbridge Mark, thank you very much for your super chat. Are the club squad ready for Nagelsmann or Enrique? Or do we need stability in Champions League regular 2-3 good windows? Or would we be setting them up to fail, says Jack? I've never heard this argument before. And I don't agree with it. It's incredible. You know, so when Liverpool bought Klopp in, were they ready for Klopp or should they have waited for 2 or 3 years? I mean, should we have waited 2 or 3 years for Sir Alex? I mean, should Arsenal have waited 2 or 3 years for Arteta? I'm not taking a pop at you, Jack, because I have heard people say Carrick's the guy to bring a bit of stability for 2 years. So you want to stand still. The right guy's there, you go and get that guy. The most important thing is, and I think you're sort of hinting at it, is if we bring the right guy in, will they support him? That's the problem. Like, if you're not going to support a good manager, you may as well give it to an average manager and we'll just be average. But if the best manager is available and you support that manager, you bring them in today. Agree with your assessment of Nagelsmann, but isn't he known to be temperamental and difficult to deal with? Would fall apart quickly with this board, says Chuke. But I don't care about that. I don't care about that. So we don't go for a temperamental top-class manager because they might fall out with the board. So what do we go for? A puppet. You can't not give the right manager the job because he's passionate and he might fall out with the board. That's what best in class is. If you go for a puppet, you'll end up with a puppet, you know? When you funnel down midfielders from 2 to 3, it's a shit show, says Amit. Yeah, which is why it's very important we get plan A's, as many as we can, definitely. What do you think about this story about Diamande and Manchester United? Well, it's coming in from Indy Kaler for a start, isn't it? So, you know, I think 99.9% of their updates aren't true. or get proven to be false. I think they hit a lucky one with Belaba last year where David Ornstein gave them a shout out, and they've been living off that ever since. I mean, they tweet about 20 times a day, and there's 365 days in a year, and they've had about one or two stories right. So their hit rate's about as good as Timo Werner. I saw that there was something about Diamande and United submitting a bid. Look, in relation to Diamande, I said to you two months ago from our source that he is likely to be United's first signing, and that he is the transfer that United are working on the most. So if United submit a bid for Diamande, it wouldn't surprise me, because 2 months ago, we were saying that he is the player that United are working on the most. Now, again, João Gomes, we're clearly working on that at the moment. It doesn't mean that that's our number one signing. And I think some people really struggle with this. It's about summer transfer window. We need 5, 6, 7, 8 players. If we try and get Elliot Anderson and he won't make his mind up till July, you've lost 3 months of the window, and then you've got to start trying to get your other players. So you work on Elliot Anderson under basically it's like building something. The roof might be the most important bit. The most expensive bit of your house might be the roof, but you can't put the roof on first. You've got to build everything else, because that fits in better with the plan that you've got. So you might buy your third choice midfielder now, so it's ready to go in June. You might get your winger in June, and then you might get your two star midfielders in mid-July, because that's when they're going to make their mind up. And then you might get your left back in August. So João Gomes at the moment could well end up being our first signing. And Diamande could well end up being our first signing, because we've been working on that Diamande deal ever since January. Ever since we didn't get Semenyu, we've been working on that deal. And we have great connections with Leipzig. And obviously we have Favel as well. Diamande is a player that Manchester United really like. The only barrier with Diamande, and I was listening to what Ben Jacobs said on Thursday, and I do agree with it. The only barrier with Diamande is that Leipzig are difficult, in the sense that, well, they're not difficult. They've got a right to be difficult. They only bought Diamande in the summer. So he's not even had 1 year yet. And they've got all this interest from clubs. But they're like, there's two things. One, if they can keep him for another year, his value will go up. And two, they've only had him for a year. So if they keep him for 2 years, they get him to stay at Leipzig for another year. So I think the danger with Diamande is, I think United are trying to get a deal done quickly, but it will come down to Leipzig's appetite to do it, because they will ideally want to keep him for another year for their own reasons. And also, could you end up with a bit of a bidding war? Which is a bit problematic. I think also with Leipzig, top four get into the Champions League, and Leipzig are fourth in the Bundesliga at the moment, but they're joint fourth with Hoffenheim. There is a bit of a race going on for that. So if Leipzig get Champions League football, which I think they probably will, they might not sell him anyway. So bid going in for Diamande, I think Wolves are going to get relegated very soon, and João Gomes is a deal that Wolves might want to do, because Wolves are going to have to build a team for the Championship. And I don't think there's any point in Wolves sitting there. With Newcastle, there's probably a reason to sit on Tonali for a couple of months to try and get really, really good money. But with Wolves, there's no point with João Gomes in waiting all summer to sell him, because they need to build a team for the Championship, and they're not going to be in the same league as Man United or anybody else anyway. So I think João Gomes can happen very, very quickly. I think with Diamande, we may put a bid in and Leipzig may accept it, but it seems a bit premature to me, because they've still got a battle going on for Champions League spots, and I don't think they need to be announcing players are being sold before they know whether they're in the Champions League or not. So I would say bullshit on a bid going in at the moment. Despite the fact that United would like to get that deal done, I don't think we'll have deal done on Leipzig's players at the moment. And when I say deal done, remember, we have done deals before. Like Chelsea have just done a deal yesterday for Strasbourg player who used to be at Bolton. Is it Barco or something like that? We announced a deal with Memphis Depay in April. I think it was a few years ago. Cunha was basically done in April. It was just about when we were going to announce it. So you can get deals done in April. He just officially can't do them until the end of the season. Okay, let's have a quick look at what people are saying. But yeah, we've been quite fortunate with Diamande and João Gomes that we're quite well tapped in on those two deals. Tonali, Anderson, I haven't got a bloody clue. No idea. I'm following the same stuff as you. But with Diamande and Gomes, we've been quite fortunate in relation to a bit of information that's been coming in. Left back, haven't got a clue. We might not be buying a left back. Second midfield, first and second midfield choices. I haven't got a. I mean, João Gomes could be the second choice midfielder. He could be the number. We could buy Anderson and Gomes, and that's it. I don't think it's good enough, but that could be it. Good left wing option is Rodriguez from Como, and he's cheap. Says Malika. They've got some very good players at Como. And look, I like Fernandez at West Ham. I really do. There's a few videos I've got lined up. I don't know whether we'll put them out over the weekend because it's the weekend, but we've got a few videos lined up on some players, and he's certainly one of them. I do like him. Simon Burke says Carrick is nailed on new manager. I'm against it, but he's the easy option for the board. You might be right, but it doesn't mean we have to champion it. Do you think Diamande will be a learner driver? Says Rajaf. I don't think Diamande would be a learner driver. I think he's a very, very talented player. But it doesn't even matter if he is, because as a winger, you can be that anyway. I think winger, you look at Ronaldo when he came into the club, and Nani, you know, it doesn't matter if a winger is a little bit got to get used to the Premier League, but he's had a very good season in the Bundesliga. And I think the Bundesliga this year is quicker than the Premier League, which is weird, because the Bundesliga just flows quicker because our games are so stop-start at the moment. So I think there will be a lot of clubs, again, looking to the Bundesliga, like that Japan midfielder Sano plays for Mainz. I'd be stunned if Crystal Palace or Everton or someone don't go for him. I think he's perfect for the Premier League. I think we should be looking at Stiller. I really do. How confident are you on United pushing the big deals till September to save fee bucks and messing up the pre-season and first few games to buy a goalkeeper? Says Maud. I'm not defending the club here. I'm not defending the club here, but I do believe that actually, when you look at the summer transfer window, we probably will have deals that go into August, because that's what United do anyway. But also, there's going to be a lot of players that don't have a pre-season. Like, our first pre-season game is, while the World Cup's still on, I think it's the 12th of July. So our players that don't play in the World Cup, like Sesko and lot, they're going to go back for pre-season the first week of July. But Bruno and hopefully England players like Harry Maguire and Mainoo won't come back and kick a ball for Man United in pre-season until about the 7th of August. So I think United will use that as a reason to let the window roll. Look, worst case scenario, I could see a situation where Bruno Fernandes doesn't actually, if Bruno's going to leave, I can see a situation where Bruno doesn't leave until mid to late August. I don't think Bruno will make his mind up to leave, if he is going to leave, until end of July, and then negotiations. I don't think we'd be in a position. I think there will be deals where it goes late in the window. Yeah. Do you think Man United should sign that Japanese player, Mac? I don't know that the midfielders that Japan have got are good enough to play at the level we want to go to. Which is why I said Crystal Palace and Bournemouth and players like that. I think Sano at... I don't know how old he is as well. Um, 25, yeah. Now, I don't think he's quite at that level, but if he was, I'd sign him, of course, 100%. There we go. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We do have an 8 o'clock show tonight, Saturday Night Live. Looking forward to that. Thanks, everyone, who tuned in. I am actually live on That's Football. I've just not set the stream up. We're watching Man City. Oh, God. I mean, I just... I'm so glad that there is some bloody football back. I mean, I know it's not the Premier League, but we've got Champions League on Tuesday, Wednesday, and at least we've got an FA Cup. It's the only FA Cup game I'm watching, actually. I'm not watching Chelsea, Port Vale, and I'm not watching Arsenal, Southampton, and I'm not watching whatever the shit game is tomorrow. But I will watch Man City, Liverpool, and we're live at 12:45 on That's Football for that. 54% of you would go for Tonali, over 46% Elliot Anderson. Dark Truths, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you so much for getting your badge in. If you didn't get to catch the show live, then please do leave us your comments as always. Make sure you smash a like on the video. We've got 5,800 people watching and 500 likes. So please do hit a like on the video. And I'll speak to you on the next one. Take care.